Welcome to this week's episode of the We'll Make a Fan Out of You podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about the wrestling world with our aim to be to make you a fan of us while we talk about the greatest entertainment on the planet. I'm Aaron Newsom and here's Nitesh T-Dog Sharma.
Bonjour.
You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast from. And as we found out this week, there's a lot more than just Apple Music, Spotify and RSS feeds. Wherever you do, drop us a... And if you put a comment somewhere, tell us where you've actually followed us so we can be on the lookout. You can also see us on our YouTube channel. We'll Make a Fan Out of You. And then Nitesh has got the rest of the socials.
Hello. And yes, we finally released our podcast. Whoop. Thank you, everyone, for your feedback, your follows, your subscribes, your listens, everything like that. You can find us on our social handle at Make a Fan of You. That's on Instagram, X, and TikTok. We're posting consistently. We're going to give you clips. We've got some ideas going forward on what to do with this channel and this podcast. We love your feedback. Everything seems pretty nice right now. Don't worry, we can handle some negative feedback sometimes. I might cry. Aaron probably won't. But yeah, your feedback is really important to us. As I always say, and I probably will always say on all of these episodes, professional wrestling means a lot to both of us. It's why we're even closer friends, because we've got something in common. And we have saw some great professional wrestling over the weekend, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm really happy with how this whole weekend for WrestleMania has gone. We'll get more into it as we go through the episode, because this is our reactions to night two. We've had a bit of time to digest it. We're recording this the next week. So we've had the whole week. We've had Raw, SmackDown, NXT. We've gone through all the emotions throughout this week due to WrestleMania and the outcomes. It's a really good 10 to 14 days of professional wrestling, really, from all over the place. You had Stand and Deliver as well on Saturday, which we won't really get to talk about much because there's so much other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and this month, just in general, and next month as well, it's just professional wrestling heavy, right? We've had a look at our calendar. There's a lot of like pay-per-views and PLEs going on. But yeah, it injected into my veins is what I would say. Yeah.
As long as the quality is like 60-70% of what we've seen from WrestleMania, I'll be happy going forward for the next few months. It's not going to hit the highs it's been hitting. They can't keep hitting highs, surely. And any of the other companies, we've got TNA coming up, AEW coming up with big shows. If they can get anywhere near, 70-80% of what this weekend was, they'd be doing really well. We looked at our calendar and we're like, when can we fit in like another biopic, or when can we look at Dark Side of the Ring, or maybe review Iron Claw? And we don't get a chance for two months. So many shows. TNA have decided to do a two-night event, which both of us were not prepared for, because neither of us followed TNA that closely. So we're like, but we're going to give it a go. Starting, though, on this WrestleMania night two, America the Beautiful was gone, which was like a big hallmark of WrestleMania. They never had the national anthem for a while. Apparently because Vince didn't like it as much as America the Beautiful. He wanted it to be different to other sports shows, I suppose. They did some other one. It was a good performance. I don't know what the song is. I didn't really know the people performing it either, but that was quite a good little
show. Got everyone like hyped up, didn't it? The crowd hyped up. And then nothing on our bingo card, and we should have played a drinking game, because who comes out after whatever song was sung but Stephanie McMahon?
Yeah, which was nice to see. I like seeing her at Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, it was nice. Obviously, the whole controversy going around the McMahon family name, we won't get into much details of it.
But, until there's like concrete stuff.
Yeah, but it's nice seeing that McMahon name there. And it's Stephanie, it's Triple H's wife. Paul Levesque's wife. New song, a bit of a rocky version of what she's had before. And she hyped the crowd up. She looked really hyped to be in a new era.
She looks happy. I think how everything's going inside WWE. I think they've even came out and said she's not working for WWE. She was there in her capacity as Triple H's wife and a past on-screen talent.
Yeah.
But it's just nice to have her involved. Apparently her mum was also backstage at certain points because she'd fallen out with her husband a long time ago. This is quite nice, really. It brought a smile to both our faces. I think it did with the Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, just a big part of
our history with WWE is the authority is the original stuff with Triple H and Stephanie. So it was all really good. And then straight into match one, the one I was least looking forward to because I knew the outcome and I was going to cry. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. I don't know if you've seen this story. Drew McIntyre's gear was actually lost. It wasn't just like a wind-up on social media.
Yeah, no, it got lost. I think whoever, DHL or whoever they use for posting their gear or whatever, it got lost in transit. Lost in transit. God, that was bad. And his gear maker stayed up till 6 a.m. that night to make sure Drew had
gear. In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Obviously, maybe invited to the show. They probably do a few people's gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, from midnight till 6 a.m. was just making a really good outfit. A nice coat.
Yeah, nice coat. It looked very Game of Thrones-y, I thought.
Yeah, you could tell that it weren't the original gear when you compared it to other people's on the cards.
Yeah.
But it was good wrestling gear. He looked badass.
Yeah, we got some bagpipes.
Yeah, no sword. I was a bit surprised at that one, unless the sword got lost.
All of the swords, well, yeah, they could have. No, but everyone was holding swords, when he was walking down. And CM Punk's on commentary as well, because they announced that.
Punk came out, yeah. He was a bit quiet on commentary. It's hard when there's four people, but he did come up with some good lines. Quite enjoyed.
He did. And then speaking of gear, who's out next?
Are we on about what he's wearing or what he'd been sniffing? Because there was definitely something in the air.
Yeah.
This might be my highlight of the weekend. I knew there was going to be something special for this entrance. He had a good entrance the night before, but Seth Rollins' entrance with the Mama's Band.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah, Michael Cole brings it up, and then I've actually had a look since because I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And yeah, they do a New Year's parade dressed in outfits like this.
Yeah.
It was a great transition from them playing it to him coming out, and what, like a hat?
Yeah.
Never mind the rest. He could have just wore the hat out, and it would have been a great entrance.
Yeah, it was good. And then everyone followed him down the ring. It was very Adam Rosey, party.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Rosebuds.
Yeah.
I really liked it because normally the band, even like with Rhea Ripley's and other ones, the band stays at the top. They all got their moment. They all did their lap around the ring. It was great.
I thought it was really cool. I was like, what the fudge is going on? It was nice to see him get, I wouldn't say it's flowers because he's been in the company for so long, but I like this version of Seth Rollins. I miss the architect and the little scummy heel that he was, but this version of Rollins
think now
is good.
He's one of the one people in WWE who can easily transition from one to the other.
Yeah.
And even when he's a heel, people will still sing his song and he'll just love it because he'll put it as part of the character that, yes, they love me.
Yeah. And it works. One thing I noticed when he took his gear off was he didn't wear his usual wrestling boots. He was wearing trainers and didn't really. I don't know how I feel about that.
Were they night trainers?
Yeah, they were night.
To do with then the whole, because Roman Reigns had special Jordans presented to him.
Yeah.
So is it maybe part of a partnership and they were like, oh, here, have Seth Rollins in some really cool white trainers? No,
yeah, it could have been.
It was the gap between
the trainers and the attire.
And his. They were a bit like flares, actually, weren't they? They weren't the traditional kind of trousers he wears.
Yeah.
But that's because they're probably normally in his boots. Mm. The AK camera comes back. We can't. I still like the AK camera for when they're stood still. When people are pacing.
It doesn't work. Boy, yeah. When they're stood still and they're like having the announcements and stuff, it just works. Yeah. I think it works really well. And we're about to start the ring. The bell rings and then out of nowhere, a claymore kick.
I generally thought this was it and I was going to be so salty.
Yeah.
I generally thought that was McIntyre winning with one move. It was a good way to show that, Seth's injured. The whole weekend was built into what I think was a really good actual title match, story-wise.
Yeah.
You know he's injured. You know he's had a grueling match the night before. Yeah. He's on first at WrestleMania night two.
Yeah.
But they just show his grit and determination to try and hold that belt.
This is my fight. Yes, I shouldn't have fought. And he was getting the sort of beatdown that you'd expect from Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre thought it was easy work. Thought it was so easy, he grabbed his own phone from his wife and posted a tweet on X.
Yeah.
Saying, bored at work, lol.
Which was really good and leans into his whole heel social media star.
Yeah.
If this was before, a few more weeks ago, a bit more content, this would have actually made me vote for him to be social media star of the year.
Yeah.
For the Slammies.
I agree.
Still, in my eyes, is Logan Paul because the amount of content he just puts out, but maybe that's not in the wrestling sense.
No, it's not like the wrestling. Yeah, because he does other things and promotes his prime and everything like that. But yeah, no, we get a curb stomp in the ring. No, actually, no, Seth pedigrees Drew McIntyre outside of the ring, hurts his knee. Drew's getting counted out. He runs in straight into a stomp and then Drew kicks out. I thought Seth would win that at that point, but I'm glad that they got a good few sort of minutes in the match and it wasn't like a squash match or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know actually how long the match was. Even when I watched it back, because I watched it back during the week, and just to see if all the hype that I had go, because from the beginning, night one was a great way to hype people up for night two. It did its job in that respect.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, night one was weaker. Of course it's going to be weaker. Night two's the show.
Night two is the wrestling, essentially.
Yeah, it's just, night one is there to make you buy night two. I know most people have a network or most people buy it as a package, but for whatever reason, if you weren't invested, you weren't going to watch night one, but then you see some clips, that makes you want to watch night two.
Yeah. Kind of thing. And they were going all guns blazing. I remember Drew going for a Claymore kick and then Seth reversing it into a powerbomb, then a pedigree, then a curb stomp, and Drew still kicks out.
Yeah, this weren't like no transition moves, no handholds.
Yeah, it was just all of their signature
moves.
This
is a title fight, opening match of a WrestleMania.
Yeah,
which is great.
Get the crowd pumped up. They've done that job.
Yeah, it told the story. You saw his knee getting worse.
Yeah.
Some of it weren't acting, I'm pretty sure. Some of it was actually...
He was actually hurting, yeah. Like even going for a super stomp from the top rope and then failing.
Yeah. Even if he's not injured, that hurts.
Yeah.
The shock of that, like, that's not nice.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of near falls, aren't there? Drew hits a future shock DDT and still doesn't get the three count.
Yep. A few more Claymore attempts. Tries a GTS at some point as well, doesn't he?
He does.
Absolutely play up. We haven't even talked about CM Punk. He's on the commentary. Drew McIntyre spending more time winding him up, doing his sleepy hands, doing other bits and pieces to try and stay in CM Punk's head as much as Seth's. And that was part of the storytelling as well.
Yeah.
And it made us know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We had this conversation while it was happening. We thought we didn't know if Damien was coming out during the match.
Or after.
Or if it would be after.
Yeah.
I think it's smart in the end that it happens after the match.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's too many shades of Seth Rollins' move to put himself in that title match. And you just get compared to that then. This is now...
a different heist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't so much a heist. This is Drew McIntyre losing his belt.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a robbery. That is Drew's downfall, is CM Punk.
He overstayed his welcome. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we ain't even got to that bit yet.
No. Seth's losing at this point, and it's getting a bit more obvious what's going to happen. They get the announce table involved. More to, again, wind up CM Punk.
Mm-hmm. Just to do it in front of Punk.
Yeah. It was a really good stomp by Seth on Drew as well on the announce table. It looked cool. It looked like it hurt.
It looked like it hurt Seth more.
Yeah. It looked like it hurt both men in my eyes.
Yeah. Like, and then you've got like CM Punk going, F you, Drew. And then it's just good. Like, this is coming towards the end of the match now. And just the Claymore kick is such a great move. I love it because it comes out of nowhere.
It works really well.
It works really well. And I think all in all, there was 4 Claymore kicks Drew did to beat Seth Rollins. And we have a new World Heavyweight Champion. His name is Drew McIntyre.
And I liked the fact that they showed Seth's face because he's crying, but he points at Drew and says, "You deserve it, man."
Yeah.
Or words to that effect. I liked how they included that.
Yeah.
Because it shows how much... They could have just cut the camera away when Seth's trying to roll out the ring or defeated and...
walk back to the back and all injured and stuff like that, yeah.
But they show, like, Drew emotional with a bell. Seth's there with... He's starting to get a black eye at the time. He's you deserve it. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It worked really well. And it just adds depth to Seth's title run, Triple H has come out and saying, how would you make About Mean Something?
It was Give Seth it to Rollins. Seth Rollins.
Let him work. And it worked. It really did. We've seen stats during the week of how many title defenses he had in the 300-odd day title reign. It was crazy. No wonder the man got injured.
Yeah.
He was working all the live shows. He was doing all the TV appearances. I think even if he wasn't injured, he was dropping the bout this Mania because he'd done his job.
He's brought it to that new level, essentially, yeah. Because they need a title like that because of what Roman Reigns is.
Yeah, I've said it. I don't know if I've said it actually on the podcast yet, but I've said it multiple times when we've talked with you and your family. The belt for Roman Reigns isn't a belt, it's an accessory. He doesn't need that for his character.
No.
And the fact that he has the belt doesn't nearly do as much. It's my fear what's happening with Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough title defenses to make it mean something. Seth Rollins had the defenses against all different types of people.
And it's made it mean something. Yeah, you're right.
Something AEW do really well, like the open challenge for Adam Copeland, the House of Black rules where they're champions.
Yeah.
It makes it mean more.
Yeah.
But yeah, Drew gets his moment. He celebrates in the ring, gets to go out to his family, which I like as well. I like that's involved a bit more. All in our back of the minds at this point, I'm starting to think that, oh, there's not going to be a cash-in. And then, lo and behold, they do the whole...
Taking
the mick out of CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk finally bursts as like Drew's trying to get away from him. It's been going on for a good couple of minutes. Takes the brace off, beats him up. At this point, we're like, oh, here we go.
Finn Balor's cashing in. Yeah. No.
I like the fact that there's even a little like social media clip aimed at you online of him opening the briefcase, checking it's there, and then coming out. So yeah, Priest gets the pop, he hits him with the briefcase, gets him in the ring for the title match. The one rule, right, running the bank I don't like is they never specify, does the match just start like it does here, or are they meant to stand up? I always assume they're meant to stand up.
It's anything goes, essentially.
Yeah. I like the idea that the champion has to get to his feet.
To be like, yeah, I'm ready for the
fight. And then you can do South of Heaven. Is it South of Heaven?
Yeah, South of Heaven and Chokeslam. Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets his celebration. CM Punk's out clapping with his little legs folded on the table. It's really cool. The whole of Judgment Day come out as well.
Which is nice. That's they're all happy. They're all very,
yeah, they
very
get the celebration.
Yeah, I still think Finn should be the champion right now. But Damien, you deserve it. Well done. Sir.
He's done the work.
Drew McIntyre's reign lasted 5 minutes. More than what most people last in the bet.
Yeah, that was a good promo. Fat personally targeted there as well.
You did.
No, both looked at each other and cried tears. it was great. And it adds to Drew's character as well. I still have the personal opinion he's winning at Clash of the Castle. He's getting the belt back. But it adds to the whole mystique kind of thing. Unless CM Punk causes him to fail again. Which that would actually be the only outcome I'd accept at Clash of the Castle.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Build it up to whenever CM Punk comes back, that's going to be a great little feud. Might be SummerSlam, probably later. Don't know how well he's healing.
Yeah, don't know how long he's out for. He's 6 or 7 months.
7 to 9 months, maybe, or something. But everyone's different. Everyone heals different rates.
Yeah,
and I like that.
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. Like I said, all guns blazing.
Yeah, both nights had good
opening matches. Yeah. Yeah. And now we get to what would have been the nothing match of the night, pointless, I will just put this together. But what made it was Snoop Dogg coming out to Gin and Juice as the special guest commentator. And it was sponsored by Gin and Juice as well, which I never heard of. I just thought, yeah, it's a great song. I love that song.
Yeah.
And then Bubba Ray Dudley as the special guest referee, not on a Legends contract. Just does what he wants when he wants.
Yeah. And this feud should have ended ages ago. Karrion Kross, Officer Payne, Street Profit, Bobby Lashley, Malarkey. This, why it's carried on to WrestleMania, I don't know. It's good listening by whoever's doing the creative over this. Obviously, Triple H is head of creative, but different people put matches together. Somebody at some point went, if we're doing this at Mania, we need something. We've already got the LWO match the night before, which is a bit of a pointless
match.
Fill a slot on a card.
It's just basically to fill the card, right?
Yeah, which could have done with a better match, in all honesty.
Yeah, it was a Philly street fight.
Yeah,
made sense. ECW was built in Philadelphia. It could have been a lot more extreme, in my personal opinion.
if you're going to do something more extreme, the issue is you've got to have people in it that people care about.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But yeah, this just could have been a standard match.
Yeah. And
Only reason the Philly Street Fight mattered in the end was because of Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It would have been a nothing match if it wasn't for Snoop and Bubba Ray Dudley. Like, we can skip past this. It was a nothing match. The only highlights I got was B-Fab and Scarlett going through the table. Everyone getting whipped by a kendo stick, which looked absolutely mean from Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain. And then Bubba Ray Dudley gets involved. He gets his glasses out, which was a nice little like thing to his old character. He got a pop from it. A pop, if anyone doesn't know, is where the crowd just reacts really well to. And they do the headbutt to the balls. The what's that?
You had the neck breaker on a steel chair. That was nasty looking. That happened before that.
It was kind of... they could have done a lot more, in my personal opinion.
I don't think they had the time.
Do you not reckon?
I don't think they were given enough time to do a lot more.
Yeah. And then
maybe if it was one-on-one, if it was Lashley v.
Cross, yeah, it could have been.
That could have been a lot more. Mm-hmm. But because you've got to bounce it around six people and the special guest referee and the manager interference people, whatever we're calling them these days, they didn't have enough time to get everyone involved.
No. We get the first fuck-up of the night. The first botch is what the wrestling people like to call it, where everyone's getting the tables. They put Karrion Kross on and the table just breaks without any impact.
It made me smile.
It was so funny.
I like it as well. They just went, oh, let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again. And then Montez gets the kendo sticks and just goes to town on Kross.
Like. Yeah, that was the greatest bit of improvisation. And also, I felt so sorry for Karrion Kross at the time. It was like, oh, no.
Yeah. And then Frog Splash, which Montez Ford's Frog Splash. Fans, if you haven't seen it, watch highlights of it. He gets some hang time.
Yeah, I like Montez Ford. I don't know, we'll touch on it later, but that Bobby Lashley gets interfered with in SmackDown to settle their next little feud with Al Fantasma. I don't know how to feel about this. I want Montez Ford to be in the tag team. Like
picture, yeah, not in a stable feud.
Yeah, I just don't care about it. It's not aimed at me, admittedly. It's not a stable that's aimed for me to watch. Kind of thing. They're not doing things I like. The matches are aimed at me.
Yeah, you're right.
They're filling their spot on the roster. It's good to see them all involved in things because Bobby Lashley could just be sat at home.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, make his money.
No. Yeah, I like to see him on TV. I like Bobby Lashley. I like everyone involved in that feud. Orphans of Pain appear on NXT after Mania. That's how well that feud's gone over for them.
Yeah,
it just doesn't get. I don't know.
It doesn't work, does it?
Snoop Dogg as well doing that trick on...
Yeah. Snoop Dogg on commentary. I wish he was like the fourth man. You had CM Punk on commentary on the first match. Couldn't hear him much. You can hear Snoop Dogg.
They just let Snoop Dogg work on this.
Yeah. It was good.
I'm not surprised if... you could hear Pat McAfee as well, but I'm not surprised if he went through one of his pee breaks. And they go, Snoop's got this.
Yeah, Snoop's got this. You guys just carry on. Just do what you want. Yeah. And then, once again, what did you think to the whole sponsors of every match?
That one made sense because it's Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
I take it Gin and Juice is his brand. Yeah. It's his song. That made sense. Didn't interfere really. Or quite whatever. Blasé about that one. I liked as well because before we get to match three, they did a bit where they interview Paul Heyman and goes, what is Bloodline Rules? And he just makes a whole thing of it going, what is Bloodline Rules?
They don't even know what Bloodline Rules is.
You don't need to know. Yeah. It's like five... Fly for now, Matt. Yeah. Who cares about what the rules
was
are?
The rules of Bloodline Rules? I wish there I could tell rules. You. No.
We get to match three. I look forward to this one, and it didn't disappoint in my eyes. LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
It did what it needed to do. Once again, I thought it was another nothing match. Nothing. It was a standard wrestling match, I would say.
This was to get them on the card.
Yeah.
They did a few bits I liked in the build-up with the whole home invasion. Let's throw it back to the 90s and... do a stupid, let's get him arrested.
It was an old school, It was an old school thing. When we go through this match, you'll notice some of the old school sort of...
Yeah. This was designed to give them both a jumping point for After Mania. AJ Styles is having his heel turn again. it works with the whole hater of the year incident where he goes halfway around the world with a steel chair just to hit LA Knight in the chamber match.
Yeah.
This one kind of made sense to why it happened. The whole you screwed me over. AJ Styles could have gone off anybody, but they worked well. They worked well together.
They work well together. I like bad guy AJ Styles. It just works. He's jacked. He's good. And this match is sponsored by Slim Jims.
What gave that away?
Just the amount of yellow I saw and the Slim amount Jims. Of yellow.
People holding Slim Jims in the crowd. Yeah. Having Slim Jim t-shirts. Yeah.
It's like LA Knight is the new Macho Man Randy Savage. He's the new Slim Jim guy.
I take it he has got an advert out.
Yes.
We don't see him in the UK. Yeah. I take it there's an LA Knight Slim Jim's advert.
There is. Good. LA Knight gets his pop, gets his and like everything. Yeah. Like that. It's good. And then new music for AJ Styles.
Man, you didn't mind it.
It could have been better. I was hoping they'd be like, oh, TNA, I want the phenomenal AJ Styles song back. And that would have been even better. But they didn't.
I've forgotten the guy's name now. If Fingy wasn't fired a couple of months ago, the person.
Scott D'Amore.
That's the one. So yeah. I knew it was Scott, couldn't think of the surname.
Yeah,
if he wasn't gone, maybe they could have. But it's corporate now, isn't it? It's proper corporate. It's not a wrestling promotion. It's like WWE. It's corporate.
Yeah,
I don't like it. There's a problem now with entrance music. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. I know it's all over Twitter. There's a big lot of people. There's a lot of people mad about the songs. But you'll get Bailey's one later as well. She's got new music. All that does is say role model, and then it goes into a generic pop beat. Tiffany Stratton's music was saying Tiffy Time and then played some tunes. It's gone back to the NXT one this week.
But without Tiffy Time, right? But
without Tiffy Time on it. It's like you're not listening to what people like about things.
Mm-hmm.
People stand out when they've got a song. I know it's harder with royalties and that. So they like these kind of more generic sounds. But even like Bobby Roode's one, Glorious was made by WWE's music team, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was. And it worked so well. Shinsuke Nakamura's.
Yeah.
I guarantee they'll get rid of that in a few months again.
Yeah, they need to have a bit more variety, a bit more. Maybe just give out a bit more money for getting music people.
Yeah.
You don't have to go like full on Rhea Ripley, get a music band that she likes and use their song. It's really good and really cool that they do that. But you just need to be a bit more variety, a bit more flair in some of it.
Yeah, I agree.
You've got Cody stands out. They won't get rid of his. I'm a bit worried when Seth Rollins comes back, what they do with the whole woe thing.
I should keep it, but maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
I hope they keep it. Yeah. I hope they adapt it. And yeah. Oh.
That was a wild tangent. Shall we get on with the match?
That's how much AJ Styles' new music affected me. They built up to it. I think they built up to it too much.
Yeah.
If they just did it, it would have been a cool, okay. And then I would have got the problem.
Yeah.
I would have got the problem later on in the week. Because
mm-hmm.
I already started to see people saying, oh, they're too generic, there's this, that, and the other. And then, yeah, I'm on that. I'm in that team, in that camp now.
You're the bandwagon guy.
I only am the bandwagon guy when it makes sense to me. Half the time, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But this was a kind of standard wrestling match. It was good. I enjoyed it.
It was a classic old school wrestling match where the bad guy gets the advantage, the good guy gets like the comeback and gets his like pop and everything like that. It wasn't as slow. It had a nice pacing to it. They got some good moves off. AJ Styles was injuring the knee of LA Knight. He's played games. He knows what to do. AJ Styles is a brilliant wrestler and he is probably on my top 10 wrestlers.
He's very good.
Yeah.
He helps. I think this is LA Knight's best match in this run of LA Knight.
Because AJ Styles can make people look that good.
Yeah, and LA Knight, he's a decent wrestler. This just elevated with AJ Styles doing this. AJ Styles also just comes flying into the ring to start the pace off good.
Yeah.
I liked.
Yeah.
It weren't no stare down or anything like that. These two blokes meant
they just went, once again, all guns blazing, but with a bit of a slower pace to them what the first match was like. They open, so when they're outside in the ring, they remove the, what is it called, the mat as well.
Yeah, that was nasty.
they once again, this goes back to what 90s wrestling was, where
I like your cousin was like, oh man, it's not concrete, because they had the protective stuff.
No, that was me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, your cousin was explaining it, weren't he? He was like, it's a grass field that they've just put the boards on and then built the stuff on top.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would have looked worse if it was concrete.
Where were they going to get concrete from? In the middle of a bloody sports
field? They
can
get concrete from anywhere. They're the WWE.
Yeah, okay. Let's put some slabs down.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about it because it's quite a standard match, but it works. Yeah. It did feel like a time filler, either. I don't want it to make it sound like that.
No, it did its bit. I wouldn't say it was the pee break match, is what I like to call them. I would say the Philly Street Fight was more of a pee break match.
That's an early pee.
Yeah. If you're drinking, you never know.
Break the seal. Break the seal. Yeah. Yeah, there's the spot outside the ring. You've got AJ goes with the calf crusher, focusing more on the knee. Ale tried to do a powerbomb, didn't he?
Yeah.
AJ reversed it.
Yeah.
You called it straight away that was going to happen.
Yeah, and then they get the standard good guy is on the floor being counted out. They count to 9 and then they run back in. But then this is where the sort of pace, right, picks up. AJ Styles goes for his springboard 450, the knees come up, and then now it's time. It's like the sort of final inning of the match.
Yeah, they've done what they needed to.
They both try and hit their finishers. AJ Styles has 20 finishers. You can understand what they try and do. And AJ tries to go for the phenomenal forearm, fails. And then he then tries to go for his Styles Clash, which should be his finisher still, but it's not. Yeah. And then he ends up on the other side of the ring, tries the forearm again, but this time LA Knight just pushes AJ off the ropes and then hits the BFT.
I don't like the finisher. He needs something else.
He can't take a lot of things from classic wrestlers. He's already taken the Rock and Stone Cold. Like, he can't take the Stunner or the Rock Bottom, can he?
No. What did he do on Friday Night SmackDown? But you'd like text me straight away Saturday morning saying this is much better than his...
The Crucifix Bomb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked better than his actual finisher. Mm. There's the problem. When you've got generic moves that he does that look better than your finisher, it's hard, isn't it? Because he's not the biggest guy in the world.
No.
He's buff, but he needs a move that works on everybody.
Yeah. Yes, the BFT does, but I don't think it's... Yeah. That's my personal opinion anyways. And in professional wrestling, personal opinion means a lot. But then you get people like Aaron who jumps on the bandwagon.
I don't think there's a bandwagon saying he is a new finisher, is there?
I don't know.
I'll start the bandwagon. I start bandwagons, thank you very much. AJ's still losing at Mania, which makes me salty.
Yeah, he's never won at WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's a few people like that. We had R-Truth the day before. Shinsuke Nakamura's never won at Mania, I don't think.
But AJ Styles is more important.
AJ Styles should have won his very first match. That's part of the Mania where every decision goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like League of Nations winning that tag match. And I ain't get into that. That's when we watch that. Before match four, is this the Hall of Fame?
It's Hall of Fame segment. Yeah, because match four is the triple threat, right?
You're never beating the Stone Cold's bit where he goes down on the quad and drives around.
Yeah, I like what they do now, though, with the Hall of Fame thing, where they just parade them. They've always done it, but then like the headliner gets his sort of entrance. And big fan of Paul Heyman's ECW theme. Like,
yeah,
he comes out.
I thought he was going to come out in the coat or have the hat on.
That would have been good. But no, he's parading the WWE Championship. Proves for the main event. But now we get on to, what do you say, match four now?
Yeah, it's match four, isn't it? This is the triple threat, which was as good as I expected it to be. Not in a negative way or anything, but I expected this to be quite a showcase.
Yeah, yeah. You have Logan come out first in his Prime truck, and then Blue Prime Man's back.
Yeah, and he added like his WrestleMania-themed gear, which I like Logan Paul's wrestling gear.
Yeah.
I like the kind of jacket he wears.
Yeah. And he looks the part, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, He looks like a superstar.
Yeah. And this match is sponsored by?
Prime.
Yeah.
Doubly sponsored by Prime's everywhere in this. Prime's the Prime bottle is a Prime truck. He's got Prime on his probably on his boxes. The first thing we said straight away is who's in the Prime bottle this year, because they have like the mascot come out.
I was hoping it was KSI again, but we'll get to that after.
This is the vehicle. This is where you see how much like WWE put into the Logan Paul's like brand. Yeah. The fact that they allow this spot to happen because it's a WrestleMania moment, who's in this suit?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get KO out next, don't you? And he does his whole walkthrough to the back, which I like for Kevin Owens. It makes sense. Sami Zayn's there, showed off the new belt.
Yeah, and he's going, it's your turn.
That actually made me believe him, but as silly as it was.
Yeah, we said it, didn't we? Where it was like, are they trying to recreate the whole Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit?
Yeah, they're trying to rewrite that moment so they don't have to show it. Yeah. They don't show it.
Well, they never show it.
Give us a new one.
Yeah.
So it was a bit weird. So KO comes out. The stage looked great for when he comes out.
It was like ECW Titantron. It was great. And then he gets a cart out of nowhere.
So the golf cart is going back to, was it SmackDown, where they used that golf cart to get from SmackDown to here.
Oh, okay.
Like they did the whole Logan Paul bit where Logan Paul's there setting a trap. He's got A-Town down under, going to jump on.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense for that. But then he drives halfway down, then reverses back up to pick up Randy Orton.
Randy Orton looked scared when he reversed.
He looked very scared. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Some of the entrances are better than the others. That tag match, Authors of Pain, they got shortchanged on that. They just got a generic come out, which I suppose makes sense. They're not the big stars. But yeah, I like the whole camera behind following Kevin Owens out. I like Logan Paul's truck entrance. That was good.
Randy Orton just gets back. Yeah.
Gets a lift. It's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. But yeah, let's get to the match. I really enjoyed this match. Logan Paul, standard heel. Runs out the ring straight away.
And then the two friends of Randy Orton and Kevin Owens are like, we ain't beating each other up. We're going to have our match after we beat you up.
Yeah, we're going to beat you up, which is nice. Obviously, we go back to the whole, if it's like a multi-man match, the champion should look strong. But in this match, it works because Logan Paul is still fresh as a wrestler.
Yeah, but he's getting double-teamed as well.
Yeah.
Which, this works well when you've got this kind of champion. Mm-hmm. So if it's a Roman Reigns, he needs to dominate.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe needs to dominate. Even Seth Rollins doesn't. Seth Rollins is like the first one in my head that can go, no, he can get beat up straight away.
Yeah.
He's a strong champion, but he's a champion through grit determination. He's not the massive guy.
Yeah.
If this was Great Khali as champion, he's got to dominate. You know,
yeah. Gunther has to dominate.
Yeah. Gunther has to, yeah. He does into a point. Last year's WrestleMania had the Drew McIntyre, Sheamus triple threat.
But they're all big men.
Yeah, exactly. In this instance, this makes sense. Beat up the new guy.
Yeah.
Why is he still champion? Some people have been saying kind of thing. You know what is still champion?
It works. It's Logan Paul. They tried and teased the whole little Randy and Kevin Owens fighting where Logan pushes Kevin Owens into Randy. Yeah. But then we get to the point where now it's time for them to fight where they both try and pin.
That was good.
Yeah. And they're like, no, it's me. And then Randy Orton's like, no, I'm going to RKO you.
Such a Randy move.
Yeah.
It was great. They both, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to fight.
It is what it is. Now this is what I'm here for. Kevin Owens is, once again, probably in my top 10 wrestlers. Randy Orton was my favourite wrestler when I was a kid. We'll get to that story in another
Randy
few
Orton's
episodes.
Randy Orton's still got it, man.
Yeah. He is good.
And all three of them look really good in this match as well. Logan Paul's obviously got his practice that he does because he doesn't wrestle week in, week out. But
he still looks good because you can practice all you want.
Looks natural.
But when it comes to the night, you can forget everything. We've had it on a few podcasts, like episodes before we actually release, where you've got what you want to say in your head and then you're like, oh, I don't know what to do anymore. You can practice and practice, but when it comes to it,
they pull it off. He looks natural. He doesn't look like it's, oh, this is robotic.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, now I need to bounce off the rope. Or now I need to do this, I need to do that.
And then
he knows what he's doing. And if he doesn't, he's very good at pretending he does.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Logan Paul now goes for Kevin Owens, hits a cannonball on both Logan Paul and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens then goes for the Swanton Bomb. Logan gets his knees up. KO's on one corner. Randy Orton's on the other corner. Logan Paul hits a Swanton Bomb straight into a frog splash onto Orton. It looked amazing. It worked so well.
Yeah, it works. And there's a bit back and forth between Logan Paul and Randy Orton. And the way both of them sum it is good. You expect it from Orton. Logan Paul's getting better. It's one of my one criticism of him, especially he gets later in a match. He doesn't sell the moves as much as he probably should.
Yeah, but maybe that's because he's gassed and he's thinking about too much.
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah, so
but it looks good. And then you get your Kevin Owens Orton kind of mini match.
Yeah.
In a few places. They break it up. They don't just chuck Logan Paul out the ring for a long time.
Yeah, so it flows really well. Randy Orton's trying to do his DDT on KO. Logan Paul punches, and then Logan Paul does the shit shot lariat into a scoop slam, and then they both get DDT'd. And I'm sorry, I don't want to go on the tangent on this episode, but Logan Paul, get a better buckshot lariat, or
it's
just
too
leave
tall
it
for
to
him.
The professionals.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
No, the issue is too tall. He's athletic enough to pull it off, but it looks awkward because of how tall he is.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it anyway. He needs to come up with an alternative.
More power to you, but it just doesn't look good.
No. It looks awkward.
Yeah, I agree. And then, just standard match once again we get to. Randy Orton's trying to do a superplex, and then it looks like Logan Paul will do that little spot that they always like to do.
It's never going to work.
No. But I'm glad it didn't. And then second botch of the night, second mess up of the night, where KO likes to do his little like hook suplex thing.
Yeah.
But it looks like he slipped and just landed on Logan Paul. But then it looked like KO got really peed off and was like, you know what, screw this. I'm going to do something else. And it hits a nice moonsault.
Yeah, I don't see him do that much anymore. He's done it before. I've seen him do it. But
I like his one where he's there and then into a moonsault. Yeah. I'll find a clip for you one time.
Yeah, I like when this happens at like Mania, like the Brainbuster coming out not before, like him doing a moonsault there.
It goes back to your indie days, doesn't it? Your independent days.
It's more that I like they bring out the big guns for a main event. Like
big
this.
Match feel. We'll go in deep into our arsenal.
I wish they did this more than go in, let's hit 5 claymores, let's hit 6 RKOs, let's kick out at 2 because I've just been hit by a rock bottom. Mm-hmm. I like it when a finish is protected, like there's a big move. That's why wrestlers need more than one finisher. You need a couple of finishers that you can alternate between and have it where you can have a weaker finisher where people can kick out of that one, but protect one. When they kick out, when it is Mania, when it's the title shot and it's 20 minutes into the match and he kicks out at 2.5. Oh my God, that's a moment.
It's a moment.
Not,
yeah.
Ah, this is the fourth claymore he's kicked off out of tonight.
Yeah.
It works in the Rollins match because it's brutal.
That was their aim, yeah.
Yeah. But when it's, especially when you're like Logan Paul, he's not much of a wrestler at the minute. He's getting there. But like this, where they're smart with the knuckle dusters coming into things, when he does a Superman punch and they pretend they're knocked out and it's the whole, oh, he has a metal rod in his hand. I don't like that.
No.
I've never bought into that one.
Yeah. But then like you get the bit where Logan Paul's going for the punch straight into an RKO.
Yeah.
And then Randy Orton's then going for his punt, which we haven't seen the punt in so long.
Yeah. That was going to be cool.
He didn't get the punt, did he? Because
Prime Man.
Yeah. And it ends up being I Show Speed, which I didn't expect.
Which I know who he is. I don't
I
really
find him hilarious.
He is kind of funny.
He is.
I don't
funny.
See him. I imagine if I see too much of him, I'll find him annoying. He's that kind
He's
of
on my For You page a lot.
Yeah. Luckily, he's not on mine.
Yeah. He starts barking and then.
Is that his thing?
Yeah, that's his thing.
Okay.
He gets Sparta kicked. And it's just so funny. He gets Sparta kicked by Orton.
He half falls out of the suit.
Yeah. And then Orton takes the suit off him and then goes to the announce table, tries to RKO. He does end up RKOing him, but Speed barks at Orton and then Orton just barks back at him and before he RKOs him. It's just hilarious. And then this is where you get into the world's like the sort of end of the match. KO hits a stunner on Orton. Logan Paul saves, then Logan gets thrown out of the ring. Yep. And then I believe this is where Orton gets his pop-up powerbomb into an RKO.
Which is a good moment.
It was such a good moment.
And I feel like it's been done before. Maybe not these two.
I can't remember it though. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Logan Paul does the standard heel move of Orton's hit his finisher, throw him out of the ring.
Yeah.
Get your finisher on Kevin Owens, and still the United States champion.
I'm not mad.
Logan Paul. This was one of my match of the nights. At this
really
point,
good.
This was my match of the night.
And I like the prime battle spot, as it will be known as from now on, for years to come.
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to happen next Mania. It'll probably happen the Mania after.
Yeah, it'll be like the next big social media star or whoever it is.
It'll be like, this will be like the Kofi Royal Rumble spot. You'll be expecting this at me.
Who's going to be the blue prime man?
Yeah, I just hope there's no overstay. It's welcome. And you're just getting random people. I'd like at one point for it to be an actual wrestler, and that be the plot twist.
That would be hilarious. A legend or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or somebody
like Shawn Michaels,
like
or
a
something
return,
like that. Yeah,
or a
yeah.
return. Someone's out injured for a while.
Yeah,
let's bring him back as friends
the prime
of Logan Ball in the prime battle. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, I like that.
In my head, if there's a way you can get it where it's either Drew McIntyre versus Logan Paul and it's CM Punk in the battle, something
that's
like that.
Money,
you know?
Isn't it? That just screams money.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
I don't know if CM Punk be up for it.
No. Yeah, CM Punk will probably end up having a brawl with the prime battle.
No, he's in his happy place now, man.
Yeah,
he's not working with clowns.
Sure.
Everyone has a good thing to say about him.
Bam Magan.
Look, I know CM Punk's a bit of an arsehole. He's a character, but he's also old school. At some point, we'll talk about that old brawl out fight and all that. No one's innocent in any of those occasions. However, throwing hands is a bit weird. I know that they're fighters and all this, but it's one of these things that if you're in the situation, something like that would probably happen with anybody. If it gets that, no one's that level-headed. Just CM Punk obviously has some sort of anger management situation in it as well.
He clearly does.
Yeah.
He clearly does.
I'm pretty sure he's gone to things for it before as well. But it's the job of people around him and people like that. Randy Orton's like that when he was younger. It's people around them and the management and stuff like that have to control those situations. Don't let it get to that.
Yeah. But
that's
a story
another
for another day.
That's another tangent.
Yeah,
match five.
Yeah.
I look forward to this one. I was angry that the build-up wasn't given as much time as it needed. And I was angry that Bayley, the winner of the Royal Rumble, was not on any of the big posters.
It was not fair.
It's not fair. They had
so good as well, Bayley is.
She's underrated because she's been there for so long and is on TV so much.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I like the damage control stuff they've done. I like how they've pivoted it early enough that it's not overstayed its welcome.
Yeah, it hasn't got stale, has it?
Yeah.
Like, it was getting stale, but then Bayley won the Rumble, and then boom, I'm invested again.
Yeah, you knew there was going to be a turn. I don't know how many people...
It could have been either, really. Yeah, could have been either.
Bayley could have stayed as the heel.
Yeah.
I like Bayley as a heel and as a face.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
What's a face for non-wrestling fans?
Face is the person you cheer, even though you can cheer the bad guy.
Yes, and bad guy is the heel.
Bad guy is a heel,
but you can also cheer them because they're the face.
It's confusing. It's shades of grey these days.
50?
Which? 50 shades. Oh, God, is that copyright? Are we going to be flagged for non-appropriate content? Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really pay attention to the video packages on night two as much.
I wanted to see more wrestling, yeah. Like, the video packages... So, the way I see it was the video packaging and spots were better on night one.
Yeah.
But the wrestling was better on night two.
Yeah. I don't think there's any bad wrestling, really. Maybe by the Usos.
Yeah, and maybe the Philly Street Fight. I would probably put the Philly Street Fight higher than the Usos match.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 110%.
Yeah.
Like, we're a negative... equity with the Usos match.
Yeah.
Philly Street Fight was entertaining and had some decent
stuff. But
that's
another tangent. So Bayley comes out as a pharaoh? Or what's a female pharaoh?
She just really likes Egyptian stuff, doesn't she? I really like that. So there's a backstage thing on YouTube now. I don't know if you've seen it. They've done one for Damian Priest and I've seen the Bayley one as well.
Mm.
And it shows them doing her hair and they
put it on.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
And it explains like the ring gear. And it's good. And there's also a clip of Triple H hugging her before the match and fixing her wings, which is cute.
Oh, that's she is a Paul Levesque guy.
Yeah, proper like NXT baby.
Yeah.
She comes out, new hairstyle, new hair
ring gear. Yeah,
Egyptian ring gear. I don't like the music. I like the role model kind of title for her.
That's well, cool. She had it back in the day, and but the music's got like a remix and stuff like that.
Yeah, now, I don't like the music.
If you're listening, anyone from WWE, do not, and I repeat, do not change Io Shirai, Io Sky's entrance. It works. It's amazing. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and it looked good at Mania as well.
The flashing lights, just insane. And her little drunken master walk down to the ring. It just works. It works. For me, I like Sky. I think she's great. She is a great women's champion. I don't know who I wanted to win in this match.
I wanted Bayley because Bayley needed the moment. And Io Sky, I don't know if she's a good champion, to be honest. She's a good wrestler. But Bayley's going to be a good champion.
Yeah, of course.
And this is going to now go into Bayley beat Dakota Kai, I'm pretty sure. We haven't had
you were saying that, weren't
prelude
you?
Prelude yet.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me. I feel, I don't know where Damage Control go. I know it's going to be something to do with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
I guess we'll, yeah, time will only
hair
tell.
Hair muscles and whatever I called it, beauty. What did I call it? Ah, never mind. Carry on.
Hair muscle and boots.
That was it. Boots. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Naomi boots. Yeah. Yes. Although, no, that's, we'll get to that when we get smacked down.
Mm-hmm. But the AK camera comes back out again.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. It looks cool.
I didn't like it when Bayley starts moving. That's why I like it when they're still.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she moves towards the ropes and does whatever she does, it goes a bit out of whack.
Yeah. Did you notice when Samantha Irvine was like WWE Women's Champion, Io Sky was like Women's World Champion, lip syncing it. It was cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I really like this match.
I like this match. I knew it was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
They're both good wrestlers, and I'm glad it's got the reception and the pop and all that it deserved.
Yeah.
I was a bit worried, actually, when because at this point we went, how many matches are left? We went, there's this and the main event. I was like, oh, no. Is this the crowd going to die? Is things going to go wrong in this? Is it just going to be like a filler match? But no.
But it wasn't. Hey, no, we get the Hey Bailey chance.
It's not as good as Clash of the Castle.
It's not as good at any UK events, really, because UK knows how to chant.
And it's a UK
song. Yeah. We get Bailey doing a bottom rope dive, which I've never seen Bailey do ever.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but then I thought she legitimately got injured when she did that.
I was in two minds. I think she definitely tweaked something because there's a few times where she looks like
She hurts her knee and then starts limping around. But it could have been great storytelling because then that's what Io Sky that sort of targeted throughout that match. But there was a really good pace to this match. They both got some good moves off.
Didn't feel too short or too long. It was good.
It was just there, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And to be honest, it's my match of the night.
It was my match of the night too. Like I thought the triple threat was, but then I saw this and I was like, oh,
you've
my
got
God.
To take out, you have to take out the main event because the main event was always going to be a spectacular and a match for the ages.
Yeah.
Match of the century, whatever you want to call it. As just a pure wrestling in its own cosmos kind of thing, this was great.
Yeah, yeah. Sky doing a dragon screw from the middle rope looked mean. It looked deep. It was good. Bailey can tell a story with her knee hurting and that she was limping around and stuff like that. She's one of the best to do it, I would say. We got some flippy flips.
Good flippy flips as well.
Yeah, it was.
This is what I like about WWE in a minute. They're not sticking to you have to have a generic WWE match. So you've got, this is different. Every match on the card so far has been different. They've not gone copy-paste the LA Knight AJ Styles format four times before the main event.
Mm-hmm.
They've let them do their own things, different paces, different moves, which I think this is what showcases women's wrestling better than it has done in the past. Before, they're all kind of copy and paste a woman's match is what you do.
Yeah.
Now they actually let the individuals do their own thing.
And it
present their own stories.
Women's wrestling is actually so good.
Yeah. especially NXT are doing a very good job of showcasing it a lot at the minute. And that's why I like Stand and Deliver when I watch that. Like Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyrie is really good. And then, so it hypes you up. And it almost makes it a damp squib when you watch something like on SmackDown after Mania. You have a kind of squash tag match between with Bianca Belair, Jay Cargill, yeah. Piper Niven and that. We'll talk about it again in a bit. But yeah, it makes me, it's a bit salty when you see something this good and then you watch a few of the things bring it back down again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you can't stay consistent, can it?
Yeah. It is. Some of it's the writing of it. Some of it is the, what they need to get across.
Yeah.
Because they've got such a small amount of time as well. So one women's match on this night, there was two the night before. So out of the
three,
was there 12 matches in total? 11 matches in total?
11.
Six last night?
Yeah, it was six.
There's only three. So their showcase is a lot smaller than the men's. Which, if one of the three women's matches was the Jey Uso match, that
put it in my veins.
Yeah. That match should have been, yeah.
It was bad.
But yeah, this, back to the actual match, it was good. There's, you don't like Bayley to Belly, do you? As much.
I know, I love Bayley to Belly.
Which one do you not like? I thought it was one of the news you were moaning about.
No, it was you moaning. You're trying to gaslight me into saying I moaned. It was you that moaned about it.
I like the Bayley to Belly suplex. I don't particularly like the rose plant as much, but I thought you were saying something about one of those.
No, I really like the Bayley to Belly. I think that should have been... I think we agreed on the rose plant. And then
it looks a bit awkward.
Someone said they don't like the Bayley to Belly, but I'm not too sure who it was.
Somebody did, yeah. I was starting to fight.
Trying to gaslight me into...
I thought it was you.
You're so good at this, aren't you?
Can't remember. I was busy watching wrestling.
I was watching wrestling.
This is great.
Yeah. You didn't like the crossface. I know that.
Nah, the crossface don't look good.
Duh.
Not that one.
Yeah. It just gets into the whole, like, towards the end of the match. It's been going on for a while. Like, Io Sky gets a moonsault, but then misses. Bayley hits a Bayley to Belly, gets a two count. And you're like, oh, this is now getting into the sort of final third of the match.
Yes.
Bayley tries to hit the rose plant, but then Sky's, I'm so sorry for betraying you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then she just slaps her.
Yeah. Like, I'm a bit upset they did that after they also did it in the Usos.
Yeah. But this one worked more.
This one worked a lot more.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so salty.
Yeah.
Like, this should have been... That should have been the moment where they had the... This way, it made more sense than the Usos.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then Io Sky then hits her moonsault, one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
Hits a second moonsault, like a springboard where she goes to the second turnbuckle and then hits a moonsault.
Yeah.
And then...
I thought it was over.
Yeah. I thought, oh no, Bayley's going to think. Then she hits three moonsaults. She hits a standing moonsault.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know what, screw this. I'm going for the third. But no.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, tries to hit the rose plant. And then Io Sky does a weird little headstand flip.
Flippy flip thing, yeah.
It looks so cool.
It didn't make much sense, but it looked cool.
I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I've watched it back a few times now and I'm still not like quite convinced what happens. I think that's the awkward thing about it.
Yeah.
It was obviously a counter. And she doesn't counter the second...
Rose plant.
Yeah.
And new women's world champion.
We all go home happy.
Hey, Bayley. Ooh, she's still my girl.
I'm really looking forward to this title run as well.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like there's enough good matchups they can do. I hope they just don't keep repeating matchups. Mm. I want them to do fresh and new every time.
Something new.
Yeah.
Bayley can be a nice workhorse. She can pull off some good matches. She deserves to have this title. Yes, she's had other titles before, but I think this one is well-deserved.
Yeah. Without adding too much time to Raw or SmackDown, I'd like there to be a third women's belt. In the Continental or something.
But they've already got a tag team, the curse of the tag team.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there needs to be another... To share around, because they're getting so many talented female wrestlers now.
Yeah.
That it's almost becoming what they do with them. Unless they can come up with really good stories that I couldn't think of without a title belt, which they quite possibly can.
Yeah.
That would make it good, because you don't need a title belt to make a feud interesting.
No.
but it helps.
It does. It does. You are right about Kancho, or about can just be there as an accessory. And now, it's time for the main event.
First of all, Snoop Dogg comes back. I like that. He comes out, he butchers the numbers as well, which Triple H took the mick out of in the press conference after I've seen that clip. He got something the wrong way around. But yeah, there's like another, there's more for night two. They squeezed a few more seats in.
I've got the note here actually.
72,000 for both nights, but it was 700?
It was 72,755.
Yeah, so they reported the total attendance was 145,000 for the two nights. And I think over the weekend, for everything, it was 101,000?
145,000.
No, sorry, 201,000 was like SmackDown.
Yeah, all together.
People to start to take mick out of, but it just shows you how many people were there and how much money they generated.
Professional wrestling's cool again.
Something like over the weekend, Cody Rhodes did £1 million worth of merchandise.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's just at the venue or online as well. I've bought wrestling t-shirts this week, mainly because I needed something to be able to wear on the podcast. But WWE got my money. That's the first wrestling t-shirts I bought from them since I bought that. Well, I don't think I've ever bought a t-shirt from them.
I don't think you ever have. I think the first one that you bought was at All In.
I bought the All In t-shirt for being there because I felt like I wanted it and I wanted to wear it the year after. But most... My standard wrestling attire when I turn up to these events was a checkered shirt with the WWF Panda Spot t-shirt. So, yeah. And which I'm just going to take a pop here because even though All In AEW's event in Wembley reported there was 82,000, there's a really good thing in the UK where for health and safety reasons, other things, the stadiums have to report the actual turnstile count. And that was 72,200. So technically... if you're going off that, but obviously WWE have butchered their figures over the years. It was higher attendance at the Wembley, which I'm hoping there's a comment off somebody because...
I'm not going to comment anything.
You're not going to comment
anything. Because I had a great time.
I just like the fact that the boat you can sell out stadiums all around the world at this point for any event. And yeah, so match six, the main event, Bloodline Rules, whatever Bloodline Rules was. I'm happy it went according to... if you told me beforehand it was going to be Bloodline Rules, Roman v. Cody, you had the build-up we had, it ticked all the boxes I wanted it to tick.
Yeah, I agree.
With the entrances.
Yeah.
You got your pyro.
I got my, at the start, it was 1.3 mil worth of pyro. I've given a $3 million budget for Cody's pyro. And then the start was 1.3 mil. But yeah, no, I liked Cody's entrance. You were laughing at me where I was like, it reminds me of Helldivers.
Yeah, like, we've paid too much Helldivers recently.
It looked like the end of the Terminator world. Terminator, Helldivers, same thing. But Cody comes out with his mask. Rhodes gets an appearance.
I like that part. I really like that apparently the Cody Rhodes skull that he's wearing, the American Nightmare, was made by the same person who makes Bray Wyatt's outfits.
Yeah.
Which was cool little facts. Hope it's true. But yeah, so Brandy comes out, takes the helmet off of him. Then his normal entrance hit. Of course, it's going to have to be the normal entrance. She's in like some kind of cheerleader kind of American Nightmare outfit, which was nice to see. You've got your big pop. The crowd was a lot better on the second night.
It really was.
I think they also played about with the microphone placement, personally.
I feel like they watched it back and they're like, the mic wasn't that good.
We need to make this sound better.
Yeah.
And I think, the crowd probably was more hyped for the second night as well. But yeah, Cody's entrance was good. Weren't too long.
Roman's was good.
Roman with a weird orchestra.
Yeah, I liked it.
It fit him.
I had to have my finger really up fit him. The whole
yes.
time.
Yes, so
time
first
around.
Time I did my, first night I did the finger holding. You did it this time and I laughed at you the whole time.
You did. It hurt. I know. It does hurt.
Oh, it hurts.
I acknowledge my tribal chief, but holy heck, that hurts.
Yeah. So yeah, it goes to his orchestra entrance. On his own. Paul Heyman's with him, obviously, but on his own.
But yeah, no Solo, no Jimmy.
Yeah, the Bloodline tribes not all come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good big fight feel.
It was a big fight field. The crowd were really hyped for it. Like, once the bell rung, the crowd just like, come on, let's go. Yeah. This is good. I was like falling asleep during the entrances, but then once it started, I was like, I'm awake.
Adrenaline was coursing through me.
Yeah. Adrenaline in your soul. Something Cody wrote.
Yeah. It was great. They did the whole 1300 days as champ. What is it?
1,316 days.
That was it, yeah. See, you know the numbers.
A good memory.
Really hyped. Samantha goes to town on it. Paul Heyman's miming in the background again. Gotta love it.
The 8K camera's back again.
Yeah, and this worked. Again, it was a bit shaky when like Cody goes down on one knee before he does his whole fist to the ground, but it works. Too much movement, it don't work. Like, he goes towards the back again.
It didn't work. But then you got Roman, who's just like a natural.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Just chilling. Great. And Charles Robinson's referee.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
Yeah. Old school ref.
Yeah.
Been around for Yankees.
Yeah, they have their quick stare down, which hypes up everyone even more. I was worried about how this was going to be paced, and I don't feel like it went wrong. I feel like the pace was good.
Yeah, it wasn't a standard Roman Reigns match, was it? It wasn't fully slow. It had its moments, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah.
The pace...
But looking back at it, the pace wasn't off on the year before. Just certain Roman Reigns matches has to, because I suppose it shows how dominant he is.
Yeah.
Which he does. But he... Again, from what we said in the first video, he looked nasty. He's buff, he's built.
Yeah, he's lean, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. He's got weird tape on his finger. He must have split a nail or something. But...
No, it's his pull cue. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his pull cue. One bit I really liked was they're like having their little feeling out stage of the match opening.
Yeah.
Cody then like...
More to let the like crowd get some energy out.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. Cody then gets the upper hand and then Cody decides to get a table because, what is it? It's Bloodline rules, isn't it? Like anything goes, right?
I don't know if he could just quick check the ref as well, but yeah, he's like straight there looking for a table.
And then Roman Reigns just hits his drive-by on him. And then just such a smart bad guy move. Roman's, no, fans, you no ain't tables. Getting the tables. No tables.
Yeah. So fans don't get tables.
Yeah. And then just puts it back in under the ring.
Yeah. And it's smart storytelling. It's subtle. Doesn't have to be grand gestures or anything.
No.
It builds to it. And I was surprised actually they went for weapons so early because Kendo Sticks get involved as well.
That was the only other... No, there was... Yeah, the Kendo Stick and a chair was the only other weapon used.
Yeah, steel swab, driven into steel steps a few times.
But everyone gets driven into that forever.
The Kendo Stick was cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's a fascination with getting Kendo Sticks out again. Pro wrestling in general, but I love it.
Sandman. That's the only thing I could think of. Just Sandman.
Yeah. So there's not much actually in the ring at the start. It's a good... I'm surprised it actually went so long before the interference kicks in, but we'll get to that bit.
Yeah. But
they go into the crowd. Second night in a row. The main event ended up in the crowd.
Yeah.
Same part of the crowd as well.
Same platform.
Same bin.
Same bin, there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. So yeah, you get... The only bit of in-ring action before they actually like, properly do that is the feel out, and there's a figure four, which is a bit standard affair. Yeah, it goes straight into the like Bloodline rules.
Have a bit more of a wrestling match. Like there's a disaster kick that gets reversed into a power bomb, which I want to just go on a tangent here, and I heard Kevin Nash talk about this as well in his podcast, but. It's so true when you think about it. So Roman is this dominant champion, right? He hits a powerbomb on Cody and then Roman Reigns falls to hit the ground. It made no sense for me, like how it happened.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but you're meant to be this big beast of a man and a champion. You're powerbombing someone. Yes, you might have taken... some beating, but stay on your feet, mate.
He's already had a match not before. You got to show it's wearing him down.
It's not my tribal chief.
Oh, okay.
Not my
I really like, though, back to them getting out into the crowd. as they walk past some fans, Roman Reigns raises his backhand and absolutely scares the bejeebus out of somebody. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Poor fan. I hope he got a t-shirt out of that because he's probably got some penis.
No t-shirt. No capes.
Yeah, they go out. They do the whole back and forth of who's going to get slammed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually surprised Roman took that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He can do it. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they quickly go out into the crowd, and almost as quickly as they went out into the crowd, they come back.
Back into the ring. Nothing bloodline worldly has happened. It's the standard affair of a match, right?
It's just a no DQs match.
Yeah, but like
no count outs.
I thought there'd be more tables or something.
I thought there was going to be like half the bloodline sat there in chairs around the ring.
Yeah, writing or notes.
Like, what? Why are the ropes not on fire or something?
Yeah. Was there not flowers everywhere? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, that's Tribal Combat, right?
That was Tribal Combat, yeah. That didn't work either.
It's a different thing.
No, I like the idea that they made it so it's not just a standard wrestling match. I had that last year. So the whole fact that they could go into the crowd, they could get some weapons out.
Yeah, it had more meaning to it this time round. It worked. And you got Roman Reigns just talking shit, which is always fun.
Yeah, he uses a fisherman suplex, which you were like in shock and horror at.
I've never seen him ever use it. Roman Reigns is hitting his suplexes and whatnot, and then hits a fisherman suplex. You're like, what? How? Like, where did that come from?
He's a wrestler. He knows the move.
He does.
I like it. Again, it goes back to the whole, we're at a premium event. It's a big occasion. Bring out a new move or bring out something you've not used in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just adds to it. It doesn't have to be over the top. 720 Superfly press or something. It can just be as simple as
hook, I don't use a DDT. Someone's leg. Yeah, I don't use a DDT.
I'm bringing out a DDT.
Yeah.
Or another really good one in this one. It's a bit later on. He uses the crossroads.
Yeah, Roman Reigns hits the crossroads.
And then has like a five. He found like a 5-minute conversation with Paul Heyman going, this move's trash.
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
How does
trash.
Anyone win with this move? Like, yeah. How does it work?
Yeah. It's such a character moment. It's such a good, like, spot that it just works.
Yeah. No.
Like, if I was a professional wrestler, one of my things would be I'd use the opponent's finisher, right? Not every week, but like the big, if this was WrestleMania and I'm a professional wrestler and I'm against Randy Orton, I'm bringing out an RKO.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I agree.
And it goes back to old school video games where you could steal their finisher and use that. I think that's where, in my head,
that's where your brain goes, right?
Yeah. If I want to surprise somebody, I would use the crossroads on Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I would use a spear or a Superman punch on Roman Reigns. It just adds to it. And it's not, as I said, it's not over the top. It's not lighting the table on fire, then powerbombing someone through it. Kind of
it's thing. Something it's, subtle, but it worked. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And well, then Cody Rhodes also does then steal Roman Reigns' finisher as well, hits a spear on him. So.
Spear's becoming quite a common move, and I'm a bit fearful for that. My only hope is Bron Breakker makes such a mean spear, it wouldn't make any difference if everyone else uses it.
What, you're telling me that you're going to get 17 spears in one match? And one super duper spear?
Yeah. You could very well.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, it goes. Yeah, but this is still like a standard wrestling match at this point. They're back in the ring. And I'm happy for it because it's a good show showing off both of them. I was fearful that it was going to turn into an Avengers film too early.
Yeah.
Like last year, the match between them was really good. And they got to do that again.
Yeah, they got both to before all shit hits the fan.
It's only 5 minutes of shit hitting the fan.
Really. But it was a great 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But we're nowhere near that yet.
No. You've got Roman
Bionic Elbow.
Superman punch into Bionic Elbow was great.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, I think he said, I don't know if he still feels this way. I know there's an old interview clip of him saying he doesn't like doing it. He does it for the fans kind of thing.
Yeah. But it looks like he likes it because he was looking up to the heavens as well.
Yeah. And it's thematic, isn't it? That whole thing. And he goes for his Cody Cutter or Oz Cutter for you.
Yeah. Always
gets reversed. That's when he does the crossroads, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah. And then Cody Rhodes decides to get the announcer's table. But
which is still standard.
Low blow. It's Bloodline rules. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, a bit of an old school low blows. I love it. could do in front of the ref.
A power bomb through the announce table.
Yeah. Which was good.
Yeah.
It was.
It meant its purpose. It gave.
There was a lot of unexpected bits. I don't know what, how, or why they're unexpected to me. But I wouldn't have had that, as we keep saying, on the bingo card. I wouldn't have put a low blow on there. I wouldn't have put going through the table lock at that point in the match.
So early on in.
Maybe that's why Bloodline rules work so much, having the no DQ.
It was just the no DQ, Mav. It wasn't Bloodline rules.
It was Bloodline rules because the Tribal Chief was involved.
Okay, yeah, true. And then we do get a Cody Cutter, but a two-fall, a two-count. A two-fall? Yeah. A two-count? A two-count. We'll go with
two
that.
Two-count.
Yeah.
Kick out at two.
Yeah, kick out at two.
What's wrong with you, Matt?
Everything. And now it's time for all how to break loose.
Yeah, so I don't know. It worked really well, to be fair. Jimmy comes out.
Cue Jimmy Uso.
I like how it didn't. It weren't just straight away that everyone came out.
Yeah.
So Jimmy comes out, gives a bit of help. Cody kicks out.
And then Jay comes out.
And they have a better match on night two than they did on night one.
Yeah.
It's incredible, really.
Yeah.
They absolutely steal the show. They don't. But it's just that much more of a highlight. Jimmy gets speared by Jay off of the stage.
Yeah.
Through some very well-placed tables. And that takes them out of it. And I like that fact.
It took him out, yeah. And then Cody then rolls up Roman. 1-2, oh no. Roman with a super-duper spear. 1-2, oh no. And then Roman then goes back into his, like we're on about going into his old that sort of moveset. He then goes for his guillotine.
Yep.
But Cody counts,
doesn't count it. Cody breaks it by pushing them both out of the ring, which is cool.
And then
spear through the barricade.
Yeah,
I like that.
Spears Roman through the barricade, which I thought Roman would spear Cody through the barricade, not the other way around.
Yeah, so it happened the night before where Roman speared Seth, didn't it? So I suppose that's why they reversed it this time.
Yeah.
How do you feel with, by the way, with a belt being on a plinth?
I don't like it.
Reaction is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, not a fan.
It happens a few times. Yeah. And it sticks in my head with this bit because they go through the barricade and they both get up and the belt's there.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And now we go for a crossroads. He hits one.
Yeah.
He hits two.
They had to do it, didn't they? Had to call back to the
And then where is Solo?
He
didn't have a hoodie on.
Does that work? How did Cody not see it coming?
I don't know. He hits the Samoan spike, drags Roman on, and this was how's that?
Nah.
Oh,
storytelling. No. I love Solo's face as well.
Yeah.
Got his back to the action. What do you mean he's kicked
It's
out?
The most I've heard Solo speak.
Until Friday.
Finish the story. And then Roman's I know.
Yeah, I like that bit.
Yeah.
So he beats him down. They do the super duper.
It was a spear into Samoan spike, wasn't it?
It's weird because he holds him and does the spike as he does the spear, which I suppose, in my head, it takes the momentum away from one to the other.
I like it. It looks good. Yeah. And then Cody still kicks out.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Cody's a Superman.
And at this point, I weren't sure who was coming out. You called it straight away. I had a feeling Cena was coming out at some point, but he comes out because he's got the history of Solo. I thought someone might come out first and Solo beats them up.
And then it's Cena. But no, you get Cena come out, clearing house, giving an attitude adjustment to Roman, and then an attitude adjustment to Solo on the announce table.
Yeah. They did Cena dirty with some of the camera angles, man.
Yeah.
It was bold spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cue the final boss.
Yeah. It was cool. The whole pop, The Rock. Obviously.
It was basically old feuds. That's how.
Yeah.
Old and new feuds.
Which is why, when in a minute we talk about the next one, I feel this one worked a lot better than it could have.
Yeah. I agree.
In this story.
I think I know what you're saying. But they call back to their WrestleMania match where they have their little look into the opposite of the crowds. The Hogan Rock did it as well.
Yeah, that was cool. This is one of the angles that does Cena dirty.
Yeah,
because you see the bald spot.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God, that bald spot.
It's wearing those hats all those years. It's the sacrifice of wrestlers.
It is, yeah.
And Rock does his whole get the hell out of my ring, which is great.
Rock bottom, get the hell out of my ring. And then this is when I was like... It can't be.
Yeah, it was never going to be, you stupid idiot. I like the Shield music because it lays into the whole story of Seth being Cody's Shield. He knew what he was doing. And Roman, almost on instinct, just gets into the ring to Superman punch.
Saves Rod the Rock.
Saves the Rock. Yeah. Seth's in his full Shield gear with a chair.
Yeah.
It's a great callback. And then everyone's looking at the stage waiting for Stone Cold Steve Austin, the glass to break. Now, I would have loved it. Everyone would have loved it if it happened. I almost love this more. That the lights go off. And who's there but The Undertaker?
It's The Undertaker. The Donk. Yeah.
Because I did the full-on meme. I had my head in my hands, like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Because it just didn't think that this could happen. But it makes more sense because he's got history with Roman.
He does have history with Roman, you're right.
And he was the locker room leader for a big portion of Roman being there.
Yeah.
Big portion when The Rock was there. Like, it makes more sense that he... And also, it makes more sense because he just gets The Rock to disappear when the lights go out.
Yeah, like, what the hell's going on? And then another story callback. Roman's back in the ring, gets his chair. Cody's on one side, Seth's on the other. What's it going to be?
Oh, that was a bit that nearly made me cry.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, because that is perfect. Over 10 years worth of storytelling all in one moment.
It was revenge. Yeah,
but
revenge.
Cody wins, but Cody don't beat Roman.
Roman Seth beats Rollins. Roman.
Yeah. Seth Rollins causes Roman to beat Roman.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins knew what he was doing. It's a beautiful moment. It sets up the future.
Yeah.
It goes into the three crossroads. And your new WWE Undisputed, TNT, AEW, New Japan, World Champion of the Year, Cody Rhodes.
It is Cody Rhodes. It was a great match.
It was. How did you feel that it weren't Stone Cold?
I didn't really care. It was The Undertaker.
Yeah. And I like the fact that they didn't make it. He was just in his normal, like, clothes as well.
Yeah, he was in
like,
his normal clothes. Undertaker comes, Undertaker goes. It worked.
Yeah,
it
worked
more. It was batshit crazy.
What were they going to do? They're going to have a stunner and then he just gets out the ring?
Yeah.
Or does Roman have to hit him with a spear or something? I just feel...
Roman and Stone Cold have no history, whereas Rock and Stone Cold do have history, but Roman, Rock and Undertaker both all have history. So
yeah, exactly. I can
see what you mean. It works.
It works better. Yeah. The Stone Cold moment would have been like, oh shit, this is amazing moment, but in storyland, don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Cena coming back barely works, just purely because of his match with Solo.
Solo,
And it makes me almost think that could you do Stone Cold turning up next Mania when The Rock's going to be maybe the champion?
You never know.
Save this that one for another occasion. The celebrations are cool as well. They don't just cut straight away. Like, babyfaces come out left, right, and center. Brandy's in the ring.
Yeah.
Cena's having his moment in the background. Trying not to steal limelight.
The thing I noticed was everyone that was in the ring were Roman's previous opponents.
Well, he'd been through the entire locker room.
Right, yeah, true.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a great, let's have our moment, let's get our... Even CM Punk comes out, which is nice. That's more because it's like, he's proud of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. He's finished that story.
Yeah. Mama Rhodes comes in, which is cute. Gives her the belt. That makes me want to cry again. I've already used my tears up.
Dustin should have been there.
Half the family. You can't have him on TV, though. He's in a contract with another company.
I know.
You've seen the tribalism when Blimmin Keith Lee turns up Hall of Fame in the background of something.
Yeah.
Just having them there is nice.
I mean, it is nice.
Multiple videos of AEW and other promotion wrestlers watching because they're Cody Rhodes' mates.
Yeah.
Which works.
Mm-hmm.
Cody gets the mic and gets to do his little victory hero speech, which you haven't had in a very long time.
He calls Triple H out.
Yeah. And Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah.
Doesn't call out Nick Khan, but Nick Khan's there. You better South Stadiums, which he will. It's him, of course.
Very good show.
Very good show. Very good ending.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it, to be fair. It was... I'm just going to say it. I think this is the best WrestleMania I've ever watched live. I've seen potentially better Manias, like, years later when I've watched them on the network or whatever, but for us sitting there, or me sitting there on my own for whatever... And watching WrestleMania live on that night or the next morning, this is the best one I've ever seen.
Okay.
Mania 40 delivered.
Mania 40 delivered. I wouldn't say it was the best one that I've seen of all time, but it's up there.
What's the best one you've watched live then? I'm not saying it's the best Mania ever. It's the best one I've ever watched live.
ever live, I would say 31, where Seth cashed in.
No, see, that's the best moment.
No, but I like that Mania. And
it's
also
a good Mania.
WrestleMania 30. WrestleMania 30 was the best I watched live. With Daniel Bryan winning. Yeah, I really like that one.
I like the story, but I weren't as invested in Daniel Bryan as I was with this.
Yeah, no, it's up there. It's up there. But I would say 30 for me.
Okay, no, fair enough. Yeah, they get their moment. There's Michael Cole's crying. Samantha's crying.
Samantha did a great job.
Doesn't know, does she? She doesn't get told the results. She finds out when everyone else finds out to make it.
Shout out to Samantha Irvine. You make me like want to watch the match just by you introducing them.
Yeah, best announcer there probably has ever been for me. Ever will be. It's going to take a lot to top that.
Yeah.
You've got the whole handshake between Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, which is great as well.
Seth crying.
They're still not best mates.
No.
They're never probably going to be best mates, but the respect's there. They're both professionals. And, the whole end sequence. It goes on for a bit long. I didn't know if it was going to be. I thought it would end a bit quicker, but I'm glad it went as long as it did in the end.
Cody gets his pyro. The rest of the million-dollar pyro.
The rest of the pyro comes out, It's great. I like how he wears the belt as well. Too many people don't wear the belt.
No.
Seth Rollins came out with a belt on. Two criticisms, Cody Rhodes promos on Raw and SmackDown for me, is he's got his suit, he's just carrying the belt. Put the belt around your waist.
Mm-hmm.
It looks so much better
when
they do that kind of thing. It's just a quirk of mine. Yeah, I really like that. The whole show, the whole build-up to this Mania has been great. We'll quickly touch through then, because I know you haven't seen as much. I haven't seen all of it, but Raw, NXT, SmackDown.
Didn't really do much for me.
Did they not deliver for you?
Not really.
I thought they did what they needed to.
As a Raw after Mania, I thought there'd be... I get the surprises with Dragunov and Roxanne Perez coming.
I really liked that they got no video package, just went out there with a match. They're building up towards the draft. They announced the draft.
Yeah, which we will do videos on as well. It was just standard affair, really. The wrestling has improved 100%. I fully agree.
I liked how much... So they didn't advertise Cena. Cena appears. They didn't advertise The Rock. You had a feeling one of them were going to appear. Cody opens the show as the new champion after the whole Triple H talking. And he does that promo, and that drew a load of people watching it on his own. He's a draw now. He's made that level of superstar. I could go on a whole rant about superstars, and at some point I will. But you don't have to fill it with surprises. You just have to have... You've got good characters, good stories on the show. You don't have to have a million and one surprises. You've got the two NXT surprises for me are great because Perez beats Indy Hartwell to showcase her. You've got Ilya Dragunov beating Nakamura. Feels a bit dirty on Nakamura, but it's good. The one surprise is, isn't it? Cena comes out and has a match with Awesome Truth against Judgment Day, and I'm here for it. That was such a good moment.
Yeah.
Judgment Day's out there doing their promo.
The build up. You can't see him. I've got a third man, but you can't see him.
And you all knew, John Cena, but it is good. I just feel like it did more to try and get people hooked into the next lot of story.
Because you can clearly tell now people are now going off
Rock says
doing their
it,
own
it doesn't
thing.
Even allude to it. Rock says, I'm going away now.
Yeah.
The final boss will be back. Mm-hmm. Sets up probably next Mania. I don't think it'll be SummerSlam.
Don't break his heart ever again.
Don't break his heart and hands him something.
No, but what I was saying is the fans now, because they tune in from Rumble to Mania, don't they? It's that season. So now you'll notice the dip. But they don't want that. So that's why they're something good.
No, they're going to have a dip. They probably expect it. They want there to be more people back for SummerSlam than there has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their aim will be. They're on an 18 streak sellout of big shows. Mm-hmm. SmackDown, Raw, Mania, all them. They want that to keep going as many as they can. They're using smaller sets. I like the smaller sets. Fit more people in. I love it. I don't have to have that big wall. I love the big wall when it's there, but it's not make or break.
Give me
a smaller set. Get more people in. But yeah, they're trying to plant seeds, aren't they? They even planted seeds for NXT because Perez gets interrupted by Natalya at one point.
Yeah.
Saying she wants a match, which was cool. You've got Liv Morgan attacking Rhea Ripley. That was good. That was a mean chair shot as well. It just comes flying out of nowhere.
It did its thing, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Dominic pans the camera and they like walk out through the crowd. That was awesome. They set up Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn after having a tag match. I hope it's not a heel turn. I want it to just be a
good match.
Be a good guy.
Yeah. And then
Jade Cargill gets to squash Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
And then they start setting up for like heavyweight. Jey Uso wins, quite like an NXT at the minute. Bron Breakker gets to say his goodbye after losing the belt with Corbin to Axum and Nathan Frazier. It's a good match. They've had a good couple of matches. And I'm excited to see what they do with the tag belts. However, offers a pain jumping on gives me some concern.
No, they're good. They were great NXT tag champs in the past.
And Ivar goes back to NXT as well, which is a bit of a concern because they get called up and obviously drafts coming up and there's going to be some changes. But Ivar's promo is better than offers a pain jumping attacks. Ivar's basically like, I've seen the matches stand and deliver. I want to be involved in a match like that where it's men beating men.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the Trick Bealia that they go through. But why is Carmelo Hayes getting involved again? We've had that.
They don't want to finish it, do they? They want to continue the story.
I hope Trick gets called. I don't think Trick's getting called up in the draft.
No, Trick won't get called up. Ilya will, but Ilya will lose the title to Trick. I'm calling it now.
Summer School or whatever it's called.
I don't know what the next one's called. Yeah. And then we get SmackDown and plants the seed for a civil war in the bloodline.
Yeah. You like this. I like this.
Tama Tonga appears. The son of Haku / adopted son of Haku.
Yeah. He joins Solo, takes out Jimmy. His face turn. Hope it's not too quick or too sudden. And I hope Jay doesn't get involved too quick or too sudden. Or Roman comes back too quick or too sudden. I want there to be the slow build we've been getting.
Slow build it, yeah.
Yeah. Roman shouldn't be out back before SummerSlam or near SummerSlam. I think he's booked for SmackDown before.
Yes,
he is. He should come back and try and reassert dominance and have Solo go, no, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
On authority of The Rock or however they'll do it. There's a few weird decisions. So Tiffany comes out, challenges Bayley, but Naomi gets involved.
And now Naomi is the number one contender for the championship. Makes no
sense. Again, that's a friend be friend, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Cody's promo was good, mainly because he used Brandy's line.
Because she's from Detroit and
who
the hell told The Rock it was open mic night, bitch? Yeah, it worked.
That worked. I like that. The whole undeniable, it now undesirable becoming undeniable and now undisputed line is good. Please don't overuse it, Cody.
Yeah, you can see it's going to happen, right?
He'll be on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Just don't keep using it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he said he didn't like that promo as much. Because what am I on about in that promo? But now he's using it. He's going to put on a t-shirt, sell some merch.
You get
I sent you the clip of it, didn't I? Kevin Owens does that fourth wall break-in. Walk from the back, which works so much better than any of them they've done so far. But when he picks up the title belt, I don't know if you notice it, he chucks CM Punk's
merch off the table. Yeah, planting the seed. It's good.
Yeah, and the whole Jamie take the mic, Bruce hit the
music. Yeah, and then it worked. Thought it was cool.
Other than that, I'm a bit disappointed Logan Paul didn't show up on the SmackDown, or the tag champs weren't there either. I know they get their breaks and stuff like that.
Should have been there. This is what I'm saying. It wasn't as good as Raw or SmackDown after Mania in the past.
It was different. They didn't do all the surprise. I liked the triple threat and back to Raw as well, the Fatal 4-Way they did for the title shot.
It's a new era now, isn't it? So give people
chances. They're going to run back LA Knight, AJ Styles, this week coming up, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
LA Knight won two really good triple threats in the show. And then Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, AJ. That was really good, purely because the Superstars clash
for
the win. It was great. I'm excited. I don't know where it's all going, what's going to happen, but I was really happy with Mania. I like the stuff from the three shows this week. Plant some seeds. If we weren't doing a podcast and we weren't going to be watching more anyway, I wouldn't have the usual dip off now. I'd be staying to watch. I'd be watching highlights and clips anyway, but I think I'm going to stick watching. I don't watch most of SmackDown. I'll see the clips on YouTube the next day. They do a good enough job. But like Raw, I'll skim through as I normally do. And NXT, I'll keep watching.
Whereas I'll watch them all and also watch AEW and also watch TNA.
You don't watch TNA.
I know. but I see clips. Don't,
yeah.
I watch AEW every week, and we are going to do some AEW content.
Yeah, hopefully next episode. No. Yeah, next. Not, oh, no. What is it? I can't remember.
Next episode is out. TNA.
Hard oh, yes, TNA is next Saturday.
Yeah. Rebellion.
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen TNA in ages, so I'll look forward to this.
Yeah.
And then
it's going to be good.
That is Dynasty.
Dynasty.
AEW. That's the first AEW episode.
Yeah. Yeah, TNA Rebellion.
Yeah.
Is what we'll do next week. So
I won't have nearly as much to say as Natasha, I don't think. Although, to be fair, yeah, neither of us clued up as much on TNA.
No. You have more to say, anyways. You just like hurting my feelings sometimes.
I do. But... stab and twist.
Yeah.
Stab and twist.
But yeah, no, thank you everyone for listening to this podcast. We've gone on a little bit longer than expected, but...
I expected it. It was WrestleMania Night 2.
WrestleMania Night 2. But yeah, no, feedback, once again, we do love your feedback. This podcast comes to you every Monday. Yep. Keep an eye out on where you listen to your podcasts on. If you do want to watch us, go to us on YouTube, subscribe, hit the notification bell. We're having fun,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We instead of just texting each other now, we get like an hour and a half.
To talk about it.
Talk shit about wrestling. It's great.
And if you want to give us any episodes to do a podcast on, we'll listen to you. And
I'll fit them in at some point after all of these pay-per-views and PLEs.
Yes, yeah, because we've got 2 months of pay-per-views and PLEs, but we're an open book, and we're here for you.
We've got Rebellion, Dynasties, Backlash, then we'll go to talk a bit more about how we got into watching wrestling and where we've been. So you've got, there's just loads coming up.
Yeah. Professional wrestling is cool again.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening. And with that, hit the music.